thinking some about the way things around us will affect us. We live in a very fast-paced world. You think about back in the times, I never did it, but my parents used to talk about going, taking their clothes and washing them on a washboard. Mm-hmm. I don't know how many people even know what a washboard is. Well, I never washed them on a washboard, but it had to have took more time than it takes today, I'd imagine.
Oh, yeah.
There is inventions.
Yeah.
If you've got someone you really want to be in contact with, you can just about be in contact with them all day long. No matter what you're doing,
no matter
you
what you're doing,
where you're at, you can be just a few button punches away from giving them your ideas or getting their ideas. We're in a microwave age.
That's right, brother. Yes.
And sometimes we rush the microwave.
Mm-hmm. Sure you don't.
Amen.
I put something in the microwave the other day and thought that I gave it about 2 minutes. It should have been plenty.
Uh-huh.
And it wasn't hot when it got out, and I was like, what's wrong with that microwave? Had to give it another 30 seconds or so, warm something up. Yeah. Well, that's awful.
Yeah.
We live in a world to where we can get places quick.
Yes.
If you're a jet setter, you can fly from around the globe.
That's the truth, bro.
Now, in comparative terms, we listened to some history and some things like that, and you realize that people would come from the east to come out to Missouri, and they would take off from Missouri and go to California or Oregon, it'd take them 6 months.
Oh, yeah.
Just as hard as they could go to get out there, if they could, 6 months. I leave in the morning up there in West Virginia and be in Missouri before it gets dark, same day. And I do it with air conditioning blowing on me and stories going and a drink beside me. If I want something, stop at McDonald's. Every exit just about's got something for you. We live in a world that is catering to us. All right? There's nothing wrong with any of these things particularly. There's nothing wrong with the things that we can get. We've got more than enough food in our country eaten. We have the comforts of easy chairs. There was a time that people would have been against those kind of chairs.
Mm-hmm, right.
Those old straight back hard benches in churches wasn't by accident.
Right. That's right.
They was to keep you straight up and alert.
That's right.
You would hurt sitting there, but you would listen to the preacher because you was awake. You wasn't sleeping in those kind of chairs.
That's right.
And they was purposely not giving comfortable chairs and feeding what they called the flesh. We live in a time of softness. We live in a time of ease. We live in a time of instantaneous things. I can get a hold of you, and if you don't answer your phone, text them. And now we're laying it over and over until now. Brother Carl said it the other day, and I know he's right. And my son does it sometimes to me. I'll call him and mention some little fact about something. I'm on the phone with him, and he'll tell me, "Yeah, right here it is." And he's looking off of something, telling me the information that he got from somewhere. And we've got that at our fingertips. We're laying it now. Now somebody be talking. You can be talking to this guy or talking to them. You're talking to everybody.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to tell you something, though. Mm-hmm. It don't work that way with the Lord.
That's the truth.
There's no punch buttons to God.
That's right.
And we'll treat the Lord sometimes like he's this technological world. Mm-hmm. Now lay me down to sleep. Mm-hmm. Or Lord, we need something right here. Fast button, punch button, give it to me now.
Mm-hmm. Don't wait. That's the truth.
It don't happen that way.
That's right.
Uh, couple of days ago, I got my shoulder wrong. Brother Carl knows what I'm talking about. He had about the same kind of thing. One of the most painful thing, if not the most painful thing I've ever had. I called it bursitis in my shoulder. I don't know what it was. You ever had that? That's something to be reckoned with.
Amen.
And it would have been real good to just hit a few buttons or called on the Lord, punch button, hey, God, and touch this. Well, you know God can do that. And I've seen Him do that.
Yes.
You all probably have seen Him do that.
Yes.
But that's not the way the Lord works. I want to think a little bit tonight about us seeking the Lord.
Okay.
Now, Sister Mary, when you lose something, you got to look for it.
Mm-hmm.
When you ain't got something, you look for it.
That's right.
I don't mind looking for something that I know is there. What I don't like is when somebody, one of my family members or my wife or somebody comes up and says, honey, can you help me find something? And I said, well, sure. Where do you think, what's the, I don't know. Now, when I lose something, I can trace in my mind and think, well, I lost something, but I've only been a half a dozen places, so it's got to be within a half a dozen places.
Right, right.
When you come up and say, I've lost something, well, where do you think you lost it? You know, if you knew where you lost it, that's a dumb question. Well, where'd you lose? Well, that's the way we get it at the house. Well, if I knew where I lost it, I'd get it. No, I mean, Did you lose it in the county of Pocahontas? Did you lose it in Greenbelt? Where did you lose it? Somewhere around where you lose it. And they say, I don't know. I said, boy, I don't know where to start with this one. I mean, it could be in the car. It could be in the van. It could be in the backyard. It could be in the, I don't know where to even start looking for it. And sometimes I'm thinking it's probably thrown in the trash can and is in the dump somewhere. I don't know where to even start looking. I haven't got confidence that I can find it.
Yeah.
Folks, we need to have confidence in the fact that the Lord told us, if you'll seek me, you can find me.
That's right.
He isn't withholding himself. He's proclaiming himself. If you'll seek me. Now, what does it mean to seek? It doesn't mean a one time. Brother Matt was told us before the service about a woman in the scriptures that had a need.
That was right.
Her need was before an unjust judge. Feared not God or man. But this widow woman persisted. She
was persistent.
She importuned. And she kept going.
Yes, she did.
She kept going.
Yes, she did.
And the unjust judge, he didn't care what man thought. He didn't care what God thought. He didn't care about nothing.
He didn't.
But he cared about her.
Sure did.
Because she's going to weary me.
Yeah, right.
And I'd be better off to give her what she's after than to keep her knocking on my door in the middle of the night, waking me up, wearying me. I'm going to give her what she's asking
That's
for.
Right.
Well, Lord help us.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't show very serious when we just say, well, Lord, if you'd help me, I'd appreciate it. Amen. But the scripture says, seek ye the Lord while you may be found. It's
right.
Isaiah 55
right.
and 6. It used to be on the side of the tent truck.
Mm-hmm.
The brother Sammons took around. Seek ye the Lord while you may be found. Call upon him while he is near.
He's near.
That suggests something.
Mm-hmm.
He's not always going to be near. He's not always going to be close. He's not always going to be available, possibly. But in the time that you have, in the position you have, the scripture is telling us to seek the Lord. Not just be indifferent about this thing. Folks, I'm going to tell you, the devil is going to take advantage of this time we're in and try to get us into a place that we're yancy about things. We're nervous about things. We are not waiting. We're not willing to wait. We're not willing to seek God for the help. Really get down until God answers our prayer, see? Until God does something for us. I want this answer and I want it now. I got to have it now. Everything else in my world is now, now. Let's get there. Let's get it done, see? It's not that way in the Lord's world. We need the Lord to help us to realize that He's still God.
Yes, He is.
And all of our answers is in God.
Amen.
And He's not going to answer it just because it needs answered. He's not. He's waiting for us to seek Him.
That's right.
That's true.
To search for Him.
That's
How much do you want God in your life? Now, this is a legitimate question, and you can answer it for yourself. Sister Mary said this is definitely an individual personal experience with the Lord, and you'd be well off tonight to just flat out answer it for yourself as honestly as you can.
Yes.
Just answer this question.
Yes.
How much do you want the Lord in your life?
That's right.
That's it.
Good question. Just answer for yourself. If you said, I want the Lord, I'm desperate for the Lord, I want the Lord in my life. Or do you say, well, I'd like to have the benefits of the Lord in my life. Don't we answer it that way sometimes?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They did it in the Bible days.
Mm-hmm.
There was people that come along and Jesus turns around and says to them, you didn't come because there was a divine work. You come because you got your bellies filled. Mm-hmm. You're just chasing after the benefits. Mm-hmm. You want some more fish and cheese.
Yeah.
I want the benefits of the Lord. A scribe came to the Lord one time and said, Master, I'll follow you wherever you go. And the Lord turned around and said, foxes have holes and the birds have nests, but the Son of Man had nowhere to lay his head. There was no more said about this scripture. What was it suggesting? He was suggesting that the guy didn't follow. I think that the guy didn't go no farther. He said, well, I didn't mean that. I meant the bread and the cheese. I need something else, see? Not that.
Not that woman. Not that way.
Turn with me, we'll look at a scripture in the 17th chapter of Acts. This is the setting of this is there was some people, my understanding of it, there were some people, they worshiped all kinds of different gods. Well, there was some of them that was thinking, well, we have a God of the sky, we got a God of the sun, we got a God of the sea. Let's worship all these different gods. We got Jupiter and Mars, and we have Venus, and we got the goddess of love, and we got the goddess of this, and the god of that, and this and that. Let's make sure we cover them all. And they got to worrying about maybe that there was some that they didn't, there was one that they wasn't covering. This is my understanding. They were superstitious, and perhaps a god that they wasn't worshiping be jealous and fire down something on them, you know. And so they decide, well, there's just an unknown god. We'll just serve and we'll put that to that one, make sacrifices to a god that we don't even know. So we'll be covered. So Paul comes around. This is about the 22nd verse. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious. And I'd say by a good bit, they were by far too superstitious to the fact that they got some gods that don't really exist anyway, but then they're going to go ahead and make a god that they're worried about might be out there that they don't even know, that even in their own minds they don't know out there, but we better cover them all. So he says, I perceive that you're just too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotion, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God. Whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. Now, Paul found an opportunity.
Sure did, didn't he?
Folks,
yeah.
There's a God that you're not serving. And I'm going to tell you who he is.
All right.
God that made the world and all things therein. Seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. Neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things. And hath made of one blood all nations of men, for to dwell on the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed in the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord. Here it is again. You don't get the benefits of the Lord if you don't seek the Lord. The Lord is everywhere. You ever think of this? You can't come up with one thing that isn't God. Now think of this. If God created everything, then what's outside of him? Right? If there was nothing and all of a sudden there was something, or much something, then all of that something is by the energy of God. Everything is God. That's what he's telling them there. Okay, you're your servant. You're a servant of God that made everything. So now, the very energy that you have tonight to get up and do your duties is of God.
It's of God.
Well, and the energy that makes the world go round, the plants to grow, the wind to blow, it's all God. How can it be anything else, right? So he says to him here, this is the God that you're serving. Seek him. Seek him. He's all around you. Listen. That they should seek the Lord. If haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. Sister Mary, is the Lord that close tonight? Is the Lord that close? The idea here of feeling after is an allusion to even a blind man. God is so close that even a blind man can grow. And he'll find him.
Yeah, he'll find him. Yeah.
If he grows seeking the Lord, he'll find him.
He will find him. He'll
because
find
he's nigh to every one of us. Mm-hmm. And it puts something into my mind, my heart.
Yes.
God is accessible.
Yes, he is. He's accessible.
To you.
Yes, he is.
He knows you. Mm-hmm. Everything is God. And he's in your world. You know, whatever you do, you're doing, whatever you're at in your life, whatever problems you have, whatever issues, wherever you're at, God's there. Now follow me with this idea. Seek the Lord. But that seems abstract. I know how to seek after something I've lost. How do I seek the Lord? How do I do that? How do I accomplish that? Mm-hmm. I want to read something to you. This thought came to me a while back. In the 23rd Psalm. Mm-hmm. I want to just read the 23rd Psalm. Everybody, probably most people here could quote at least a good portion of it, not all of it. This is very, I would say, without a doubt, the most popular of the Psalms. And this was written by David. He says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Now, I think this is interesting. I found this very interesting that David was a shepherd. So who better to write about a shepherd than a shepherd?
Right.
There's a lot of things that I don't know about a shepherd because I've never done it. I don't know the illustrations that there could be about a shepherd. But a shepherd would know, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
David was a shepherd. So he says, "The Lord is my shepherd."
Yes. Yeah.
The attributes that he had as a shepherd and his devotion to that made it so that he could understand God in his own world. To a shepherd, God was a shepherd. You know God is in your life. Whatever you are, whatever you're doing, you can find the Lord in it. You don't have to look off to some foreign land. You don't have to get on a plane and go over to the Holy Land and Israel and all that and walk where he was and all that to get the vibes or the feeling. Here was a shepherd.
Yeah.
You know, a lion come along one time. A lion's mean.
That's right, yeah.
A lion's vicious. Yeah. A lion come along one time, but the little shepherd boy didn't flinch.
Sure did.
Did he?
No, he didn't.
Well, I think he had faith in God myself.
Yes, he did.
But I've had faith in God and still be a little upset, worried about stuff. I've had faith in God and still wonder if I was going to get nipped a little bit or something. You know, this was a lion. You know, he took that lion on because he loved the sheep.
He loved his sheep.
He loved his sheep?
Yeah, that was right.
He wasn't a hireling.
Right.
He wasn't a hireling.
No, he wasn't.
That was his.
Yes.
And he loved them. Probably had a name. And a lion comes along, and you ain't getting him.
Oh,
you'll get him over this dead body. And then a bear comes along. We don't have lions up home. We got some house cats, but we don't have no lions. We got bear, though. And they can get big, and they got claws, and then, you know, it's a bear is a bear. And the bear come along, and David says, as a shepherd, you're not getting the sheep. He understood God to be his shepherd. And then, so he could find God in his own world. You know, you'll be in places and you'll have titles on you that I'll never have. But I guarantee you God's in it.
Yeah.
There's nothing made that he didn't make.
Right.
And you know what? This was a shepherd. But farmers have found this the same way.
Same way.
Farmers will go out and say, I planted corn.
That's right.
And corn come up.
Amen.
Jesus said, unless a corn of wheat fall to the ground and die, it abides alone. Who's he talking to? I wonder how many saint farmers ever saw a corn of wheat fall to the ground or a grain of corn and that scripture come to them. Or as they were sowing or planting into the ground, it seems like kind of a waste to be planting what you could eat. Right?
Yeah.
But the Lord said, unless it falls to the ground and dies, it abides alone. But if I'll plant it, the scripture says, cast your bread upon the waters and it'll return to you not after many days. Always got the vision of a soggy piece of bread out on the water, but that's not what that's talking about. It's talking about casting your seed, the grain that would make your bread.
Yes.
Cast it in, as in the sense of rice.
Yes.
Cast it so that it can bring forth much more. You do it and it'll bring forth for you.
Right.
How many farmers that maybe looked and said, I'm going to have to plant and God be able to talk. I was a surveyor for years.
Yeah.
You know, God made himself real in my occupation as a surveyor.
Made himself real.
I got so many illustrations out of surveying. If when you're surveying a straight line and you get off just a little bit on your bad side,
just a little bit.
You won't be off much to start with. How many times I've thought about this? You go 100 yards, you ain't off enough hardly to tell. You just get off a couple seconds. Maybe you get off 18 seconds or 18 inches or six of art. You get off a little bit. Yeah, you know, get off half a minute. Half a minute, you're not all far up there. Not enough to even see.
Yeah.
You keep going that way.
Keep going that way, that's right.
The distance between the true and the false is getting further and further. And how many times as a surveyor I've thought of those kind of things? And I think of the scripture that says, remove not the ancient landmarks, and that had to do with surveyings and where the boundaries was at.
Yeah,
boundaries.
Right.
Boundaries.
Yeah.
Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Think about this. Boundaries as a surveyor. It was important. Boundaries are important. Boundaries in your life is important. I can't set the boundaries of your life. I don't know how. I'm not the great surveyor, but you know, if I was going to write a psalm, I wouldn't write the Lord is my shepherd, because I'm not a shepherd. But I could say the Lord is my great surveyor.
Yes, amen.
That sets my boundaries.
Yes, he does.
Sets my corners.
Amen.
Gives me parameters.
Yes.
He can increase my land.
That's
increase
right.
my house.
Yes.
He's great.
Yes.
My point in this is no matter where you are tonight, mm-hmm. no matter what you're doing
yes.
in life, seek ye the Lord.
Mm.
You say, well, I got to find him somewhere. So you'll find him in the simplest places of your life. You'll find him because he's in it all. If you're a carpenter, there's a lot of things that can be relative to it. And you can seek the Lord in those and find him real in everything that you do. Traveling. There's so many illustrations. Oh, if you sing. All the songs, Sister Mary, the songs. You'll find the Lord. You can find the Lord in these things. The Lord is in all of these things. So the shepherd writes, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. You know what he got? Now, I think this was mentioned today. I shall not want. I'll get everything I want. I'll get everything I want. Now, you know that ain't what he's talking about. That's kind of like in this modern world, punch button world.
That's right.
And go off into some fairy tale land. No. What this means is I'm not going to want because all of my needs are going to be took care of. What does the shepherd do with the sheep? He makes sure they get water.
That's right.
Right?
Yeah.
He makes sure.
Yeah.
He makes sure that they get the best grass,
mm-hmm.
the best
mm-hmm.
land. Storms coming up, mm-hmm. what's he going to do? He's going to find a shelter. He's going to help them through there. So the writer, being the shepherd, knows how he cares for those sheep. Get a ewe about to have a lamb. He knows what the shepherd does. Enemy, the wolves are coming. He knows what the shepherd does when there's wolves around. He knows when there's an uneasiness with the sheep. He knows how to comfort them. Bring them in. And that's what he said. I shall not want. He's going to take care of everything. I don't have to be frustrated. You know, the scripture tells us to take no thought for tomorrow.
That's what it says, brother.
It teaches us not to have an anxious or worrisome thought. Now, I want to ask this question in all sincerity. Is there people in here who can raise your hand and say you've mastered that? I'm just curious. If you can, I'll accept it. Just say, I've mastered that. I never have a worrisome thought. I just don't worry. I just got it all committed to the Lord, and I don't worry about a thing. Got it all done because if I had to raise my hand to that, I couldn't do it. I just ain't going to do it. I because I've not got that place yet that I can say that I just don't worry about anything. I'll say this: worry never helped anything. I remember a story about a woman that worried and worried and worried. I think it was her doctor had said to her about she needed to quit worrying. Said, and he brought the point and said, it don't help. And said, has you worrying? I mean, you worry all the time. Does it even ever come true? And she said, well, it must help. It don't. It doesn't. Well, no. It proves that there wasn't nothing to worry about to start with. You weren't just worrying about stuff. The Lord wants us to seek Him.
Amen.
Not worry. The saints used to say this a lot. Every anxiety is a call to prayer.
Yes.
Every worry is a call to prayer. A place to seek the Lord. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me.
Yes.
Now listen, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Now here's a shepherd.
Yeah.
I've heard about it. You know, the shepherd goes along, he's got his rod, his staff. They're for a reason.
Yes.
He uses them. They're tools.
Right.
They're tools to keep the sheep close.
That's
to
right.
keep them doing what they're supposed to be doing. You know why we need to seek the Lord?
Yes.
Because we don't know how to keep ourselves doing what we need to be doing.
That's the truth, bro. That's
I'm going to tell you, the Lord knows how.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does.
I can remember two times in my life specifically, and I'm sure there's a bunch more, of places that the Lord brought me back in with that rock, that stat. You know what I'm saying? I felt like I was drifting. I felt like I was... And the Lord allowed events to happen. Maybe it wouldn't have worked for you. This is the great thing about the Lord. The Lord's in it all. To be able to see the Lord in it. I'll ask you a question. Does getting older make you wiser? It's supposed to? No, it's supposed to. Just does it. So everybody that's old is wise, right?
No.
All right. I'm telling you, they had their opportunity.
That's what I'm saying, baby.
They lived enough life to be wise.
Yeah.
I think that it should. You know, older people should be wiser than younger people because they've lived more life to learn more. But is every old person wise? Now, there's a lot of old boys and people. So it doesn't automatically work.
That's right.
It can.
Yes, it can.
So the older you get, the more spiritual you get.
Amen.
Right? You're more spiritual when you're older. You're supposed to be. You could be. You're more equipped when you're older.
That's right.
You should be.
You should be.
You could be. You've learned your lessons. You've done your things. I'm making this point.
Yes.
If you don't seek the Lord in the events of your life, you're not getting anything. You're not going to get better. You're not going to get wiser. You're just going to go through events.
That's so, brother.
There are some things. There are some things that you're not supposed to do twice. I remember. I was throwing wood off a truck one day, getting thrown it off, and this pole landed like this over this log. And I threw this big chunk of wood off, and it hit the end of it like a teeter totter, and it threw that thing back up. I'm all the way up in the truck. I threw that off, and that thing come back up and hit me. And you know what I remember thinking? You don't do that one twice. You know, after that, I always watch to make sure that I don't do that again. There are some things you're supposed to learn. You know, God hasn't set up the things that we're supposed to learn. But if we don't seek the Lord, and we don't learn it in our trades, in our job, your job is just like a shepherd. There is all, you could write a psalm about it if the Lord blessed you to. He's in there just like the shepherd. The rod and the staff is for a reason.
Yes, it is.
I was thinking, oh, I felt like that I was just in one of those places you get into. Not close to the Lord. I mean, just, I felt like I needed something. I was going along, didn't know, but I'll tell you what happened. I pulled into, I had my station wagon at the time, and I pulled into this place. It was in Elkins, and it used to be a Bible bookstore, I think, in this little deal. I pulled in there, it was closed. So I backed, and I know better than this, and folks, it don't matter what you know. I'm telling you, when the Lord does something, you'll forget what you know. I backed up, and I would tell all my children about driving lessons. I'd tell them about when you're backing, you watch your front end. Because when you're cutting, it's swinging wider than you think you're going to hit something.
Right.
Oh, I could preach that all day long. But I got in my car and swung it and went and gone and didn't even watch the front end of it, and I knocked a gas meter slick off. That gas, it was roaring like a jet plane out of that. And the only thing I could think of was cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching. I think it's money, 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 money. I thought, and I'm paying for it. That's what I thought. I thought about my car blowing up if I got stuck on that. Well, I got off there, and I went running here and there, and there wasn't nobody there. And I finally ran around, and there was a guy who said, yeah, oh, yeah, you knocked it off. You'd hear it. Like, it sounded like a jet plane down there. So finally this guy, another guy pulls up in there, and he was kind of, I don't know, He looked like he had been on something anyway. And he went over there and he said, oh, stop it! And he stepped up on it and stood up on it. Gas blowing out both sides of his feet. I'm thinking, I would breathe too much of that if I was you. And I'm still thinking, cha-ching, cha-ching. And he was running. I'm running, cha-ching. And another guy said, I'll call him. Tell him. Try and find, I'll call him. And all of a sudden, I hear sirens, and I was so embarrassed. It's like, oh, no. I just, the gas man's all we needed. Here comes the fire, the whole fire department. Woo, the sirens, and well, stay with my duty here. You know what I felt? Like this big. You know what I needed to feel? This big. God was saying something. Marty, you're not in control of your life. This is just one episode. You're not in control of your life today. You're not in control of your health. It can go right now. You can die tomorrow. You can get sick and have disease. A hard thing's going to happen in your life. God was speaking to me this whole time. Marty, I got a straighter line than you're running. Marty, you see what can happen. This all happened. It's so out of control. I felt so out of control. So the fire department comes, and boy, he was used to his thing. He comes out, a whole big fire department for one man, to get out of his truck. He goes and gets his toolbox, and the only thing in the toolbox, there was two things. Uh-huh. He opens it up, and there's this big wooden dowel, peg thing, and a big hammer. And he comes over there, and he puts that on, boom, boom. And I said, that's it? He said, that's it. That's all it is to it. So now the gas man's coming. And so I'm there thinking, I wonder what something like that would cost.
Okay.
And well, the gas man said, how much come out? He's being a smart aleck. Uh-huh. Well, how much come out? Well, I don't know, it was a bunch. And he said, well, we can't charge you for it because we don't know how much come out because you knocked the meter off. All right. Well, my insurance paid for what damage I'd done, and there was no harm at the end of it. God bless. God was in all of that.
He was in all of it, wasn't he?
If you're looking for the Lord, you'll find him in good and bad.
Yes, in all of it.
He's in all of it. Yes, Mary, he's in all of it.
All of it.
He's in the episode. You know, maybe this ain't right, and I won't put this on anybody else. But, you know, like with my shoulder, I'm just a little hesitant sometimes to just right off ask the Lord, Lord, just please take this away. It hurts. Because I draw back a little bit a lot of times saying, Lord, there might be something in this. And Lord knows I need all I can get. And I'm thinking, Lord, is there more in this than just getting it over with? Because I need. You know, seek the Lord in your life.
Yes.
Seek the Lord in the events of your life. Seek the Lord where you can find. God is available. He said over there in Acts, Paul told him the truth.
Yes.
You can feel after him and find him. Close your eyes. He's close. He's in your family problems?
Yes.
Well, yeah, he wants to do something with them.
Yes.
Oh, now, wait a minute. Wait, just crank it back. Maybe he's wanting to do something with you.
There you go. Start with you first. If
you'll seek the Lord in sincerity, the Lord may show you, I'm after all of you.
Yes.
Well, I'm saved and sanctified. You know, they need to be saved. I'm saved and sanctified. Well, you need, the Lord might say, well, you need a little bit more sanctified.
Yeah.
You need a little bit of help in this house to deal with it. You can find the Lord, and over, you can find the Lord in another place. I've told this story many times, but another time that I felt the same exact way. I was going along, and I had this window frame on my truck. I was going to the dump, and it blew off. This window frame must have had 30 nails in it sticking up. Glass, and I mean, it was the whole glass window, and it had these nails sticking up. And my neighbor lady, she's the one that had it. She asked me to take it when I was taking my trash. So I took hers, and she even told me, said, Marty, you probably better tie that down, hadn't you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I said, oh, no. That could never come off of there. Well, I'm going to say again, all your logic and all your nevers and all your thinking, and it was silly for me not to do it, so I'm not justifying myself. I'm just saying that even at that, God can use the elements, folks. You might think you tie it down. Or it could be something else. That I was going, and that thing blew off the truck. And again, it blew off, and when I seen it, I looked in my mirror and saw it land back there, and of course, you know as well as I do, those nails are up. There's no way it could have landed with them down. It just wouldn't have happened that way. It had to have been up. And I see it back there, and I'm thinking, oh, no. I get pulled off, get back there, and I'm thinking, and there's a hump, and I can't see, but just, and I go running, I've got to stop traffic. Here comes this little Ford Ranger, thump, 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 right over that thing. I'm thinking, okay, there's a set of tires, I got to go. And then all of a sudden, I hear the Jake brake, because it's kind of a double here. I hear this truck, da-da-da-da-da-da. Oh, no! I'm thinking, not 18. Not 18. Money. I'm thinking, oh, there's money. You know, he come up over that rise and went right over that thing. Ching. I was so helpless. Couldn't stop the inevitable. I could see it coming. I couldn't stop it. The Lord spoke to my heart.
All right, bro.
You don't have to be in a place that the Lord speaks to your heart. I'd say 99.9% of the world goes on with all of their stuff. They can curse and swear and jump and jerk and do all that they want to do, but they never get smarter and they never get wiser. They don't ever learn anything from the Lord. But to us.
That's so, brother. To us.
He's not an unknown God. He's a known God.
Yes,
he's a God of the universe. He's a God that made everything. And it's impossible that he's not in everything. He is in everything to some degree or another. There is nothing happening that isn't God. Okay? We need to seek the Lord.
That's right.
We'll find the greater purposes of things. We'll find the reasons. We'll find God in the middle of it.
That's right.
You want to know what? Every time these kind of things happen to me since I've been serving the Lord, every time I can say, all things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to His purpose. Yeah. At the end of it, I'm thinking about money, and it looks like I'm going to have to pay some. The guy with the 18-wheeler never slowed down. The guy with the little Ford did. He stopped up there with the air coming out of his tires. I took full responsibility. Hey, go do what you have to do. And my name here. He went and when he come back by, this guy come back. And by that time, I went and got that out of there, and I went and got a broom and I come back and was sweeping the glass up. And when he saw that, he come by and stopped, and I was, hey, what do I owe you? And he said, the tires was old. I had them plugged. You know, they'll last. He said, you don't owe me anything. And I said, no, I want to take, you know, I want to pay for it. And he said, no, I'm going to tell you why. He said, because last week there was a truck went by and had logs on it, and a log come off and smashed the whole front end of my wife's car up. And he kept right on going and didn't do a thing about it. And said, you're out here sweeping this glass up. And he said, I just want to tell you, I really appreciate you doing it. And you know what? I felt blessed of the Lord.
Yeah, amen.
The Lord changed his heart, changed his mind, changed the situation. Both of those situations never cost me one penny. But the Lord helped me to understand my own feebleness, my own weakness, my own inability to change the circumstances of life around me, and brought me back into a closer place with the Lord. And it was there because, and I want to say this, seeking the Lord is a diligent search for, but it doesn't say where. A diligent search for is a mental pursuit in your mind and in the reactions of life and in the circumstances of life around you. It isn't a running an obstacle course or a marathon. It's living life and finding the Lord in it.
That's right.
Seek ye the Lord. Yes. You've got lessons to learn.
Yes.
Yeah. The Lord might want you to be closer to your wife or your husband or your family. The Lord, He might want to teach you a lesson. He knows how. And he tries, and we are not even in the ball game. No, there's no Lord talking. I heard somebody say the Lord talked to him. Oh, the Lord talking. I ain't even saying nothing to me. Brother, you ain't listening.
That's right. Not listening.
Because he is. Well, what's he sound like? He sounds like a tribulation sometimes. He sounds like the Jake brakes of a truck coming over the hill sometimes. He sounds like the roar of a gas hose off. It's God.
It's God.
There's tornadoes out in Oklahoma. They ain't one of them rise up, but the Lord didn't do it and seeing it and knows all about it. He rides the whirlwind. It's still God. What are we going to declare? We're going to start lobbying Congress, have them pass a law that there's no more tornadoes in Oklahoma. Well, what are we going to do? You can't stop them. You all can move out of Oklahoma. See, they'd rather have tornadoes than move out of that state. They all got it bad out there. But I'll tell you, He's in it all. You don't run from it.
He's in it all.
You see what God's got in it for you.
That's so. See what He's got in it for
you. You know, I think I can drive pretty good, and sometimes I don't. I think I can drive pretty good, and sometimes the people around me don't. Hey, there's accidents all around. I see them every trip, but they're around. What am I going to do? Stay at the house? No, I can find the Lord in it. Brother Jim was going to Elkins one time. Somebody in the car ahead of him stopped abruptly. Brother Jim run right in the back end of him. His statement was, I had a wreck and made a friend. He said God was in all that. Running into that guy, the guy got out, and he was a nice guy. They got to talking, and Brother Jim had a way about him anyway of making friends. Made a friend with him, and this guy and woman invited him to the house, and he went and eat with them. And he told them afterwards, he said, I'm sure glad I met you people. And he said, it's just awful that I had to tear your car up to do it. But you know, God was in that. We miss it. We miss it because we don't seek the Lord.
Yes.
We don't look to find.
That's right.
Well, if this isn't an answer, I'd like to know. I know seeking the Lord is getting down on your knees and praying, and I know it's reading the Word and finding out and meditating and all that. But that's a fraction of our life. Yeah. The rest of us, all in what I'm talking about doing, is God not there? Seeking the Lord to me is a broader idea than that. It means that God is in my mind and in my heart with what I'm doing. When I'm planting my garden, I can think about it's going to take the Lord to get that to fruit. I can be mowing the grass and be thinking about what it takes for the grass to grow. It's the Lord. All of it's the Lord. And so I want to encourage us to seek the Lord. You're going to have an opportunity and place to seek the Lord that I don't have. And I've got mine that you don't have. Most of you in here, if not, probably none of you in here, can really tell the ins and outs of surveying. But you all do jobs that I don't even know what you're doing. I don't even know how to do it.
Yes.
You meet people, and some of them like you. I'd be willing to say for most of you, you got people that like you. And I'd be willing to say that there's some of you got people that don't like you.
That's right.
And some of them don't even have a reason for not liking you, but it doesn't matter. It's still all the Lord. Did they all like Jesus?
No, they didn't, bro.
Well, what was about him that you didn't like? He didn't cater to their religious system. He didn't always tell them to tickle their ears. So he didn't like them. I mean, they didn't like him. And he was God. So people's not going to like you at times too. But seek the Lord. Find the Lord in it. And there'll be a lesson in that. I've had people, Linda and I have said this for years. And I think it's true. We've learned more about how to treat people by the way people treated us bad. Because we'll end up saying, I ain't going to treat people that way. That hurt. Brother Carl Schaefer one time said, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Well, I've never heard it. Because it does hurt when somebody says something. Unless you're just a rock or just hard or just... it can hurt.
Yeah.
And it's life. the closer the people are and the more valuable they are to you, the more it hurts if they say certain things. Or you can, that, I'm not talking about being offended or throwing rocks back. I'm just talking about, ouch! That hurt!
That's right.
But I'm going to tell you, in all of it, you can see the Lord. In all of it, we can say a place in it. There was one time that I was actually literally praying. I've been praying for a while. Lord, I want to be more like you. I don't want to tell you, you start praying like that, you better watch what you're praying unless you really, really mean it. You know, maybe somebody come against me and was so unfair. It was absolutely unfair, unreal. It was, wasn't logical. It was just wrong. And when I went to huffing and puffing about, I mean, feeling like how dare I'm type thing, I get this still small voice speak to me that says, you wanted to be more like me.
All right.
I think at the time I actually said to the Lord in prayer, Lord, they did this to me and all I ever wanted was good for them. I would do anything for them I could and all those things. And the Lord spoke and said, that's just what I did when I come.
That's right.
And you wanted to be more like me. Oh, I know what it feels like to do good and to be run down for it. I know what the Lord felt like when He done it. The Lord helped me to understand. Now you feel it. You've understood it by reading, and now you felt that experience that I felt from doing good and being called Beelzebub and being run down. All of these experiences, folks, is a part of seeking the Lord. Because you know what? If my mind hadn't been seeking the Lord, that would have went blow right on by, and I'd have never even got the good out of it. I never even understood it. So seek the Lord with these things. Yeah, seek the Lord in prayer. Seek the Lord in services.
Yes.
Seek the Lord in His Word.
Yes.
And that'll take up a very small percentage of your life. Yes. Then seek the Lord at your work. Seek the Lord in the events that come your way. Seek to find and know what the Lord wants and how he reacts and what would He do in these situations. Lord, help me to know and understand and see You in this. If a blind man can grope and find Him, if he's that close, He's in everything.
Yes, he is.
He's in everything that we do and see. I can look at the sky sometimes and feel so humble. You ever do that? You ever look at the sky and see the clouds rolling and see the immensity of it all, see the greatness of it all? Go up to the Rocky Mountains sometime and look over that, or the Grand Canyon, and see some of the and see some of that, and make yourself feel real small, and you'll say, then how big is God?
That's true.
You know, you can seek the God. You can seek God in all of nature. There is amazing things happening in nature. Now, I know you all probably know this, but this is so amazing to me. I started, had some chickens. I told him I built this little pen, and we wanted to try to get some chicks. And so, I told him, I said, well, I have to wait for one of these hens to start brooding. And you know what? Just a couple of days before we did, we got this old hen. And I know they're always saying, you know, especially with the women, it's like an old brooding hen. You know, they get to pecking at you and a purring at you and fluffing at you and fighting at you. And, you know, I was waiting for it to happen. And all of a sudden, she went to brooding. And, boy, she's on that nest just faithfully now and all that. And I'm thinking, what a marvel. I mean, chicken's head's only that big around. And all the information's in there that makes it do what it does. It lays in there just endlessly. And won't even hardly gets out once a day and pecks around, eats a little bit, and gets back on there, and it'll turn. They turn their own eggs. They know all this. A chicken. It's the marvels of God's creation. And you know, you can find God and you can seek the Lord in everything that you do. You can raise chickens and see the wonders of God. You can be, Brother Matt, you can be a deer hunter and see it. You can see the wonders of the Lord in nature, or fishing, or and what happens in life. Wow. There's a great God.
Yes.
Then look at a summer sky with the stars, the millions of stars twinkling, and you can't help them saying, What a God.
Yes, our great God.
And He's nigh to every one of us.
Yes,
He's nigh enough that right now,
yes,
if you have a heart to touch Him, you can touch Him.
That's so.
He's that close. You pray for me.
Amen.